Aleichem. Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Rabbi Yochanan Elgor. We are going to be starting today a weekly shir every single Thursday, may Hashem help us, at 12 o'clock, from 12 to 12:30. And in this shir, we will be going over all the practical halachas that a yid needs to know from the moment he wakes up till the moment he goes to bed, including what does one do on Chagim, on Shabbos. We're going to be going over the basic things, generally. Please, if there are any questions, keep them for the last 5 minutes of the share. And we'll be trying to go over everything as we can from A to Z. The book that we're going to be using is known in Hebrew as Kitzur Halachot HaMa'asiyot. It's a brief summary of all the practical halachas written by the Gaon Rabbi Ze'ev Grinwald Shlita. It's a wonderful book. We will take in that book, explaining everything, and also we shall be differentiating between the psikas for Ashkenazim and for Sfarim. Now, just as an introduction, I was born in Eretz Yisroel. I was not born abroad, therefore English is not my mama lashon. By definition, I am not an English speaker. So please, if I have any mistakes in English, in diction, in grammar, please excuse me. You can correct me. I will also be learning from this shiur. One of the most unique things about Yiddishkeit, about Judaism, is that the Jewish halacha is a full scope of every single moment of our lives, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. And one of the most wonderful things about that is that we never are left standing alone, not knowing what to do. Most of our questions are, we're debating whether this is the right action or whether that is the right action. But the Torah tells us that every single moment we have got to do something in a certain way. And the reason is that everything that we do in this world, in this life, has got only one sole purpose. And that is to bring us closer to Hashem. And Hashem built the world in such a way that the way for us to come closer to Him is through Torah, through mitzvahs, and through Avodas Hashem, which is prayer. And once we astray, even slightly from the path that Hashem has given us, we are distancing ourselves from Hashem. So that's why knowing halacha, a person also who lives according to halacha, at every single moment he knows where he is supposed to be, what he is supposed to do. Let's take something which is a very simple and common thing. Most of us, when we sit, many times we like crossing our legs or crossing our hands. Now, even though you are allowed to cross your hands and legs any way you want, according to Kabbalah, you should always put your left leg over your right leg. Your right leg over your left. And your right hand over your left. Why? Because right represents chesed, grace. Left represents din, judgment. And we, just like we like our lives, for the power of grace to overcome the power of judgment, so too we must do it in our actions. Now, this is not an obligation, but it is a recommendation. So much so, there is a picture of one of the most famous rebbes, one of the biggest spiritual leaders of the Chabad Hasidus. There's a picture of the Tzemach Tzedek. And the Tzemach Tzedek, in the old pictures, the picture was drawn by a non-Jewish artist. Who, according we know, and this is the common culture, this is the common fashion stream in the world, left is always over right. If we, for example, take our shirts are done left over right. The Hasidic shirts, by the way, are opposites. Right is over left. And he took a picture of the Tzemach Tzedek with the left side of his coat over the right side and his left hand over the right hand. And that is incorrect. No Hasidic Rebbe would ever sit like this. He would sit with right over left, including his hands. So the picture had to be redone, and in the Chabad houses, they will not put in the old picture. Another example. Many people, when they put their hands together, tend to cross their fingers. Now, first of all, crossing the fingers can be a certain problem today, halachically, because especially in the Roman Catholic Church, part of the way that they pray is by crossing their fingers and forming the form of a cross, both with their thumbs and with their fingers. But even before that, one of the greatest books in Avodas Hashem, called Yisod V'Shoresh HaAvodah, he writes that it is not good to cross your hands for Kabbalic reasons. So you can see, even in the smallest details of our lives, is that we have path. We are guided by something that's greater than us, and that path allows us to reach enlightenment and to become closer to Hashem. So today we're going to start with what happens every single day we wake up. Now, before we wake up, there's an introduction that the Shulchan Aruch gives. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch opens the first verse by saying, Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid, uklal gadol b'tora u'malot ha-tzadikim asher olchim lifnei Elohim. Shiviti Hashem means knowing that Hashem is always in front of you. And that is one of the most basic and fundamental rules in Yiddishkeit, which changes the whole way that you behave. Why? A survey was done in certain workplaces where cameras were installed, and they found out that the workers, prior, that they had hidden cameras there about a month, and the behavior of all the workers and the employees was adequate. Once the cameras were put out in very blatant places, and everyone knew that the cameras were there, and they knew they were being observed at every single moment, their behavior changed. Unbelievable. Now, we all know this. We behave differently when we're alone than when we're with people. We behave differently when we are on the sport field than when we are in a very mechubadik and nice prestige restaurant. We're expected to behave differently. When we're in front of great people, for example, if you're now sitting in your class, in your English kollel, I'm sure that none of you would have a problem to come and, you know, like, throw a few jokes, make a few funny comments. Imagine if our Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Arush Shlita, was sitting with you. Do you think you would then throw a few jokes? No, because you realize that you're in the presence of someone greater than you are, so you behave accordingly. That's why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch opens by saying, if we at all times have in our mindset that Hashem is observing us at every single moment of our lives, our behavior would be altered, it would be changed. Everything that we do is observed, everything that we do is written, everything that we do, eventually in the afterlife, we will have to answer for it. We all know the famous story of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim was once, he was taken in a carriage by someone from place to place, and somehow on the way, the horse master stops. He looks left, he looks right, he sees no one. He went down into the field and he started taking some of the fruit. It was an orchard there, and he started taking fruit that belonged to someone else. That was Mamash Gzela, theft. And he thought no one was seeing him. And suddenly the Chofetz Chaim screams, Ro'im! Ro'im! Someone can see you! Someone can see you! And he threw all the fruit down, ran back to his carriage, and started driving quickly away. And he says to the Chofetz Chaim, who saw me? He did. He sees everything. That's the way we should live. And if we live that way, our whole lives will change. And that's why there are many things that we're supposed to do, even when no one else sees us, knowing that Hashem is in our presence. One of those examples, we're going to be talking about it so briefly, is how to get dressed when we wake up in the morning. But let's start. The first thing the Shulchan Aruch opens in Siman Aleph, the first thing is Yitgaber Ka'ari, the first thing is, we need to wake up. Now, waking up is not easy. Waking up early is not just not easy, it's very difficult. That's why the Shulchan Aruch opens with the words, you have to be as strong as a lion to overcome your needs and desires to stay in bed. And the Yetzer Hara is constantly convincing. See, in the winter, he says, oh, the Puch is so nice and warm and comfortable. Why do you want to get up when it's cold outside? And in the summer, the Yetzer Hara says to you, why are you getting up so early? You barely slept. You went to bed late last night. The first thing the Shulchan Aruch says is we need to teach ourselves how to wake up in the morning early. And that is one of the biggest problems that people have on a daily basis. I'm going to tell you something more so. That is one of the main things that ruins a person's married life. Because when a woman sees, I can't tell you how many times we have had problems of shalom bayis because the husband woke up late. Women, the woman woke up earlier, taking care of the kids, getting their sandwiches ready, getting them dressed, and her husband is schloffing in bed. It's not appropriate. When I got married, my chatzonim council was the great Gaon of Mordechai Eliyahu Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he said to me, it makes no difference what time you went to bed when you got married on my wedding day. It makes no difference. You will get up all the 7 days of your Sheva Brachos for Vatikin. I said to him, Vatikin? Why? I didn't daven Vatikin before. He said to me, because your wife needs to learn that you are on time. Until today, my wife remembers that on our Sheva Brachos, every single day I was up early in the morning, went to Mikveh, and went to daven Vatikin. And she till today remembers that. That's why the first thing we need to teach ourselves is how to wake up in the morning. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph brings a wonderful piece of advice. He says, if you teach yourself 4 or 5 times to get up early, you will find that it becomes much easier. Now, some of us we sleep deeply. Some of us have got our own difficulties to sleep. You can find a good solution. For example, in one of the yeshivas that I learned in, there was a bocher who had no problem waking up. It was his job to wake up all the other bocher. And he walked around with a cane. He woke you up once. You didn't get up once, you got whacked. You want to know something? Everyone got up once. You see, we are very humans, learn how to adjust to any situation. When you know that if you don't wake up when he says to you, Elkanan, wake up, the next thing you're going to feel is the fling of his cane stinging your leg, you're going to jump out of bed. We all have our own solutions. Some of us have already gotten used to our alarm clocks. Buy another alarm clock. Ask your aunt, ask your wife to wake you up. If you have little kids, it's a wonderful solution. You tell your little kids every single time that you wake up before daddy wakes up, I'm going to pay you. I promise you, you're going to have a good time. You want to make it better? You tell him, if you wake me up and I didn't wake up before you, you can do anything you want to do to wake me up. Have you ever had a young kid wake you up? Baruch Hashem, my kids haven't done that yet, but I don't want to imagine what they are going to do because I'm not going to let them do it. You have to find a way to wake up. You have to get up early. A yid has got to get up early because our day needs to start in a proper way. We, especially here in the yeshiva, we're all chassidim. You have to go to mikvah. You have to go daven and daven in a minyan. And if you have young kids, you've also got to come back and help your wife. Help organize them for sure. Help organize them to go and learn, to go to the Talmud Torah, to wherever they're learning, to the school. You have to get up a good couple of hours before they go to school. It's not just that, it's also a matter of chinuch. When you wake up early in the morning, those are the most beautiful hours that we have during the day. You can do your hour before to do it. You can learn. The first thing the Shulchan Aruch hopes is, Yitgaber Chari Lakum Le'avodat Boro. First thing is, learn how to wake up. Anyone who wants a good piece of advice can come to me after the share. I can send you many ways. One of my friends actually had a fascinating way. I think it's a bit dangerous. I don't think I'd do that. He couldn't wake up. He took a Shabbos clock. He plugged it into the electricity. He took a wire, which he cut, and he connected it to his toe. And he had an alarm clock. No, listen. He had an alarm clock for 6 o'clock. And if he doesn't wake up at 6 o'clock, at 6:30, the Shabbos clock is going off, which means he's going to get zapped. Okay? He said to me, it worked wonderfully, except for one time. And then it was terrible, because, of course, the minute that happens, and the whole electricity falls down the house, and he's got to walk out in his gutkes. You find a solution. There are always solutions. There are. Maybe one of you will invent the Yiddish alarm clock. I don't know, maybe an electric blanket that gives you, I don't know, what, 500 volt pulse, is that enough? No, it's just jump out of bed, and then everyone will just like, I'm up, it's okay, leave me alone. Maybe one of you, it might be a wonderful invention. I don't think it's going to win the human rights bill, but you can try. The first thing that we do when we wake up is we say moderni. Now, this is a very important part of seeing how important the Yiddish kind sees gratitude. Being thankful to Hashem that we woke up. Not everyone wakes up after they go to bed. We need to thank Hashem that He allowed us to wake up in the morning. And that's why the first thing that we do when we wake up is we say Moide Ani. Moide Ani, we say thank you Hashem for allowing me to wake up, for returning my soul new. Our soul goes up to the heavenly realm when we're sleeping. It gets its spiritual boost, and it comes back again when we wake up. First thing we do when we wake up in the morning is say thank you. After we said thank you, the second thing we do is we do Netilas Yadayim, Negel Basin. Now, we're still going to explain how to do it. before that. Chassidim were always very makbid about it. And it's not just Chassidim. For everyone to have a bowl and a vessel for washing his hands next to his bed. True, there are people who allow themselves to go to the bathroom or to go at the outside sink and to wash their hands there. That is not the way it should be done. Every person in the house, the husband, the wife, the children, need to have a bowl and a vessel next to their bed with water so that when they wake up, before they set their feet down on the ground, they already wash their hands. They do netilat yadayim and negavasa. Now, how does one do negavasa? There are rules of how to do it. The reason, first of all, that we wash our hands in the morning, there are three main reasons given in halacha. Reason number one, when a person is asleep, there is a very negative spiritual influence that possesses his whole body. It's called a ruach ra'ah, a bad spirit. And when he wakes up, that negative influence disappears except for one place, and that is his fingertips. And the only way to remove it is by washing your hands three times. We'll explain soon how to do that. So much so that if you do not do it, and you touch food or something else before you wash your hands in the morning, it becomes the halachic question and a shaila and an issue. What does one do with that food? Reason number two that we wash our hands is in preparation for shachris, for praying, for getting up in the morning, for saying all the brachas. You've got to be clean. Just like you wash your hands after you came out of the bathroom, we wash our hands once we have woken up. Because while we're sleeping, our hands go everywhere. We can scratch our heads. We can put our hands under our shirts in places that are not so clean, but not so aesthetic. So we wash our hands. Third reason. The Kohanim, the priests in the Beis HaMikdash, before they started doing what they were supposed to do, before they started all their spiritual authority in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to go to the kiyor, the sink, and wash their hands and feet. And when we wake up every single morning, we are just like those priests in the Beis HaMikdash. We are now preparing for our spiritual avoider of every single day, of praying to Hashem, of thanking Hashem, of benching. So we too, just like the priests, we wash our hands. Now, how does one wash your hands? First of all, this is rule number one. You always pick up the vessel with your right hand. Then you give it to your left hand. You don't pick up the vessel with the left. And the reason is, as we said, right is considered to be grace, chesed. We want to start our day with chesed, not with left, which is judgment. We pick up the vessel with our right hand. We put it into our left hand, and then we start washing our hands. And how do we do it? We take the vessel, we pour the water over our right hand first. One should try that the water should reach until the end of the wrist. If a person is limited with his water supply, if he's in the desert, he's gone there to do distribution to all the Maasai tribes living in the Sahara Desert, or wherever they're, the Mogabi Desert, I'm not sure really where it is. Or if it's a fast day, which we do not wash our hands like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we wash our hands till where the fingers connect with the actual, I don't know, how would I call this part here?
Knuckles.
The knuckles. Till the end of the knuckles. We poured it over our right hand. We should also try and pour an abundance of water, which is a measurement of a revis, 86 milliliters of water. Now, in your regular vessels, it's not a problem. The regular vessel that we have today holds approximately between 600 to 700 milliliters of water, which is enough to wash your hands. If not, you can get a bigger vessel. We pour it over the right hand. Then we take the vessel with our right hand, pour it over our left hand. Again, we return it right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. We do it three times, not like when we do, when we wash our hands to eat. Some people, when they wash their hands to eat, they do three times on one hand, one after the other. No, here you're supposed to do it left, you're supposed to do it right, left, right, left, right, left. Three times. According to the Gra, you're supposed to do it four times. That is the minhag of the Gra. Once we have washed our hands, we're also supposed to have another vessel, which is a bigger vessel next to our bed into which we pour the water. First of all, it's not a very clever thing, especially when you're married, to just do negavasta on the floor. That's not something that your wife is going to be happy about. But there's a halachic reason. This water is now considered to be water that is impure. We have just now removed the negative spiritual influence that's in the water. That's why this water has got to be worn down the drain or in the bathroom, in the toilet, in the bath. This is not water that's supposed to be used. Once we're finished, we get out of bed. Now, we do not yet make the brocha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Why don't we make the brocha yet? Two reasons. Reason number one, our mouth is not clean yet. One of the things that we need to do is we also need to wash our mouths. Reason number two is that we still need to go to the bathroom. Naturally, when a person wakes up, many things have been accumulated in his body, and he has got to allow himself to let all those things go out. So we do not yet make the brocha of Al Netilas Yadayim. We go to the bathroom, pour out the water, and then what we do is we wash out our mouths, preferably with toothpaste. You're living with other people. A Jew is never supposed to be stinky. It's not something which is, it's not a kiddush Hashem. Wash your hands. If your hands are dirty, wash them with soap. One has to wash your mouth and your face, but the halacha also says you have to dry your face afterwards. And do you know why? Because when a person leaves water on his face, especially when it's a very dry day, it can harm his skin. So the halacha even takes care of those little things. We wash our mouths, we wash our eyes, because our eyes have also gotten dirty during the night. This is what we call sleepy dust. Remove that, wash it, and dry ourselves. Now, the way a person should go to bed and should sleep is, even though you are not halachically obligated to sleep with a yarmulke, it is still accepted, and that is the chassidish hanhoga of sleeping with a covering on your head. Now, it's very easy. You go and buy this cheap yarmulke, which, I don't know, something made of a simple material. Anyone can find the known yarmulke. But some people in the Litvish world, many of them, what they do is they take out the inside lining from their hats. And that's what they put on their heads and they sleep with. First of all, you've got to wear a yarmulke. Many chassidim are also makpid to sleep with their tzitzis. If you don't sleep with your tzitzis, it specifically says in halacha, as you get up, the first thing you're supposed to put on yourself is tzitzis. Try and walk as much as you can with tzitzis. Okay? We went to the bathroom, we poured out all the water from Negavasa, we washed out our mouths. Then we also go to the bathroom. Now, the halacha sees, even though one could think we're talking here about bodily functions, which are, why are we talking about these bodily functions of going to the bathroom? Why does it have to be said in the Shia? First of all, this is the way Hashem has created us. Second of all, halacha sees, Yiddishkeit sees, in every single thing that we do, a way to thank Hashem, a way to sanctify Hashem, a way to realize the grace that Hashem has given us. When we allow ourselves to go to the bathroom, do you know how many people would pay millions to be able to go to the bathroom properly, to allow to take all the excess baggage outside of their body? Not everyone is able to do that. That's why we, first of all, we go to the bathroom, we cleanse our bodies, both externally and internally. Once our bodies are cleansed, only then can we start saying the bracha, start saying the blessings that we say in the morning, thanking Hashem, and that is what Be'ezrat Hashem we will be talking about next week. What are the brachas that we are supposed to say? This is our last 5 minutes. Questions?
The stories about the building, the baby one gadol, he wouldn't wash next to his bed because it wickedness his wife.
100% correct. A person,
even if the wife insists that the husband still should still wash, it's the best thing to do. But we know we'll wake her up. What should we do?
A very good point. It said here that there is known of a certain gadol who did not wash his hands next to his bed because it woke up his wife. In Yiddishkeit, bin odom lechaveru, the way you behave with your fellow man, especially with your wife, who's supposed to be your best friend and the closest person to you, is much more important than bin odom lemakom, the way you're supposed to relate to Hashem. If any mitzvah, any hiddu, anything that you're doing in the mitzvah disturbs someone else, you are not allowed to do it. Let me tell you something. For quite some time, I did not have a bowl of negavasa next to my bed. And do you know why? Many times, my young kids came to sleep in my bed during the night, as young kids tend to do. One of them fell once into the Nagel Wasserbowl, and he panicked, and it really scared him. And even after I got the cover, he was really scared of the Nagel Wasserbowl. So I just didn't have a Nagel until he grew up, and it was over, and only then I returned it. Correct. In such a situation, what you do is, you go to the sink, preferably a sink that is outside the bathroom, because a sink inside the bathroom is very problematic. And you're supposed to walk. Don't walk in a continuous move. You walk a meter and a half, brief stop. Meter and a half, brief stop. Meter and a half, brief stop. Less what's called less than Dalet Amos. Dalet Amos is approximately around 2 meters. I'm saying a meter and a half because it's easier. Because don't go exactly to that 2 meter, to that 2 meter range. Walk, stop, walk, stop. Then you do make the fast. Other questions? Yes?
When you said that you should use a Revius, is that a Revius each port or a Revius total between the sticks?
Very good question. When I said the one supposed to do a Revius on each hand, I meant that you're supposed to do a Revius every single time that you pour. That's why you should also try and get, don't get a small vessel for Nagel Wasser. Today you can get very big and chubadig. I even know of a Rob who bought, he bought a decanter to do Nagel Wasser because he was very marked about it. And he had a decanter. We're going to speak about that, what kind of decanter you can have, because you can't have every single one. It's not supposed to be one that has in it any cut or any change in the outer rim. But correct, you are supposed to do a Revius. A man, I know that the Ger, no, not the Ger Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer of Sokhtra was considered one of the biggest Goyim. He barely slept and used to wake up all the time to learn. He had a bucket filled with water. Next to him, he had another bucket. On the bucket full of water, he had a vessel for Nagel Wasser. He used to take the bucket, pour it into the other, wake up, learn, then go back to sleep. Wake up another 20 minutes, again do Nagel Wasser, go. So you are supposed to do a Revius 86 milliliters every single time you pour. Yes?
Every single time you wake up, you take a nap?
Very good question. Is it every single time you take a nap? We will talk about that. Bezrat Hashem will talk about it next week, because there's a difference whether it's in the morning, at the night. How long did you go to bed for? Where did you go to sleep? Did you sleep on a chair, on a bed? We'll be speaking about that next week. Yes?
In terms of saying drop is, if he's going to need to do the golden, let's say half an hour before. Can you say before that?
Very good question. This is a question of, is a person who knows that he is going to have to go to the bathroom, let's say half an hour after he wakes up, is in that time when he wakes up, is he allowed to say the brachos, to say psukim, to say verses? The answer is, there is a big halachic debate about that issue. The minhag that most people do is, they do not say any bracha until they go to the bathroom. They get dressed, they get organized, they do not say brachas. That's what the Chayy Odom says to do. He says, do not say anything until you have gone to the bathroom.
You need to go.
What? No, not necessarily. There are some people, for example, even when one goes to the bathroom, there are some people who do not have to go to the bathroom for a long period of time. They only have to urinate. And then they go and do other things at a different time of the day. If a person, each person has got his own bodily functions. When you feel your body is cleansed, then you are allowed to go and make the drugs. Any other questions? Yes?
If you wake up in the morning and you feel that you need to urinate, you wash your hands first, you want to take a bath, then you urinate, then you...
Yes, and then you go to the bathroom, and then you will wash your hands again, as we will explain in the coming weeks, and only then you will say the brachas at the end. Correct? Yes? Can one do Nagel Wasser inside a bathroom today? A big halachic debate. Reb Shloim Zalman Oibach Zecher Tzadik and Bracha says you are allowed to do Nagel Wasser in a bathroom today because our bathrooms are considered to be clean. More so, you are also able to lower the lid on the actual toilet, lower the seat, and then you're actually blocking it. Does everyone agree with him? No. That's what I'm saying. If in your house that's the only place that you have to do Nagel Wasser, you do have a very solid halachic opinion which you can count on and you can follow according to. If you have another sink, even if it's in the kitchen, and if it preferably go to another sink.
Is it both for mitzvot and for?
Yes. The question is what I said just now about washing your hands inside the bathroom, is it only for the morning Nagel Wasser, or is it for any time you need to wash your hands? It's for any time you need to wash your hands. What?
The
bracha is said outside.
Of course, no, no, of course. Any person who washes his hands inside the bathroom, he's not allowed to say the bracha inside the bathroom. That is not considered to be a clean, appropriate place to mention the name of Hashem. Yes?
What about a room without a toilet, just a bathroom?
Excuse me?
What about a room without a toilet? If you have two separate rooms, one with a toilet and one with a bathtub.
Oh, the question is, what do we do about a room that does not have a toilet, that already has a bathtub? That is much easier. That, nearly all poskim say there's no problem to wash your hands there. What? Can you say a bracha in a bathtub? The answer is yes. A room that only has a bathtub in it, you are allowed to say a bracha, just like halachically, you are allowed to say a bracha inside a mikveh in the outer room where people are mostly dressed. When you're in the bathroom and you also have a sink there, most of the time that you're in that room, you're dressed. You're using it as your sink to wash your teeth. You are allowed to say a bracha. Yes. There's a shear now, correct? Very good. I'm sorry, but there's a shear now by the Gaon of Nasa Maimon. Yes. So I apologize, our time is up. Bezras Hashem, next week, Thursday, 12 o'clock.